The Monty Show, Monday, July 9th. Hello. I'm Monty. Is that Jake?
Yes.
Hello. We have got a loaded show as always. Got to talk some NBA today, like we do every day on this show. You know, you get that. We got to talk Kyrie versus LeBron. Grayson Allen's going to be a star in this league, I'm telling you. And you want him on your team, Jake. I know you do.
No, I don't need another Dellavedova.
Okay. See, you bait me when you say stuff like that. So we'll definitely talk about Grayson Allen today, Devin Booker's deal. We got to talk about the NL West, the Ty Cave rescue, Ryan Zimmerman versus Mark Reynolds, Manny Machado. You want Machado if you're the Yankees, Jake?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Machado or Chris Archer? You can only have one. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's close.
It's not close. We'll talk about that coming up as well. Business Insider made my day by ripping Chipotle, so we get into that. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find me on iHeartRadio, or I should say us, on iHeartRadio, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play. Wherever you download your podcasts, you can find The Monty Show. I'm going to start with baseball today. I'm going to get crazy. I'm going to start with baseball today.
Okay,
I'm getting crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you rather have Manny Machado over Chris Archer if you are the New York Yankees?
I just think that they are in the American League, and I think offense in the American League, it can never be capped. And I think, the Red Sox have Chris Sale, and they have a lot of great pitching, and, you know, they're a quality team. By the numbers, they're the best team in the league right now. But I just think if I'm the Yankees, I have a lot of money, and I'd love to see Machado in a Yankee uniform.
The only problem with that is that you don't want to pay the tax, and you could acquire a guy like Chris Archer and then go and get Mike Moustakas from the Royals. And I think you have just a potent enough lineup, because you still have Stanton and Judge and Didi and everybody else in that lineup that's raking. It's Gleyber Day. You know what I'm saying. They have enough sticks there. If you add Mike Moustakas, that helps. He's better than Greg Bird is right now. I think that's an upgrade. Defensively, he certainly is not a downgrade at first base. So I think that makes a big difference. In my mind, and this is just my opinion, I think you're better off with Chris Archer and Mike Moustakas than you are with Manny Machado, because at that point, you're capped. It's going to be really difficult for you to add more talent. So I'd rather go and get Moustakas and Archer.
Yeah, if you're going to get two for one, that's fine. I get that. I mean, if that's what they want to do, then go ahead and do it. But I'm just telling you that it doesn't hurt you to have Manny Machado on your team. If you're the Yankees, and I think the Yankees are powerful enough to get him to play third base, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you can get him to play third base, then you need to do that. Like, I don't see why you wouldn't do that.
Right, I don't disagree with you. But all I'm saying is, I don't think they have the money to get Archer and Machado. Those are two well-paid dudes. Whereas you have Mike Moustakas, who's on a light contract because he didn't have much offer over the offseason. He's having a really nice year. And by the way, he bumped over and started playing first base because the Yankees wanted to see him at first base. So the Royals, of course, accommodated, moved him over to first base, and he looked pretty comfortable there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a no-brainer. I think this is a big smokescreen by the Yankees to get involved with Machado. Now, of course, if they go and get him, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Yankees wind up with Machado, but I'd much rather, if I'm Brian Cashman and the Steinbrenners, I'd much rather have Moustakas and a guy like a Chris Archer. And I don't know what you think, but I think their biggest need is not a bat, a la the Chicago Cubs. I think it is pitching, not hitting, that is really going to hurt them.
I would agree with that, but at the same time, I think, you know, you got to go out and get what's available to you. If the price for Archer is a lot of prospects, I wouldn't do that. I don't think, like, why, if you're the Yankees, would you leverage your future for that? Like, I mean, I guess if you're saying Chris Archer is going to put you over the top and allow you to win a World Series, that seems already a World Series contender right now today. It's just a matter of if they're going to win the division or if they're going to have to go another route. You know?
And the Yankees pitching is, and I want to make sure that we clarify this, the Yankees pitching is not terrible. It's just you're relying on that bullpen a lot, and now Aroldis Chapman has this balky knee. that he missed the other day with, and I know you got Betances sitting there in a loaded bullpen.
Well, they have the Royals set up from a few years ago. I mean, they have a dominant bullpen.
Yeah.
And all they need to do is throw six quality innings and the game's over.
Yeah, and they have some questionable starting pitching. And that's really where I'm going with it. I think the weakness for the Yankees and what makes the Astros and Red Sox the best team and the better team in the American League, and I think it's really close between the Red Sox and the Astros, and I'd almost have to give it by a nose because of the starting rotation in Houston, is the starting rotation in Houston is superior to the Red Sox and the Yankees. Okay, well, it's probably the best rotation in baseball, arguably, right?
Yeah.
But if you're the Yankees and you look at Severino, who's having a great year, what is he, 14-2 or something? Severino, Sabathia, and then everybody else, because it's guys like Domingo Herman, Tanaka, Gray, Montgomery. Like, you just don't have that bona fide third arm that you really need in that rotation to compete for a championship.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I just think with the way they play the game, they're an offensive-heavy team, and they're going to continue to be that, and they're going to live and die by the offense. And so if Chris Archer's pitching, okay, maybe they'll lose that game, but they're going to roast the rest of your rotation. And that bullpen, you can count on it being tired by the end of a seven-game series.
Yeah. So who do you think is the best team in the American League?
I would have to go with the Astros right now. I think they're the most balanced team. When you're as offensively reliant as the Yankees are, you're bound to get, you know, shut out from time to time. You're bound to have those off nights.
But you haven't said anything about the guys who wear Red Sox.
Yeah, because I think they're I want to see them. What I'm waiting for out of the Red Sox is for them to continue to dominate the entire year. If we get to August and they're still leading the American League, pretty much outright. If they're still in that spot, they're still pitching well, they're still playing a great brand, then that makes them the best team.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go – I'm not the guy who says there any one team is the best team in the league outright until we get deeper into the second half, because I think you can have a great first half, chill on the All-Star break, and then come out in your first 20 games, go, you know, like 5-10, you know, and just get off to a terrible start. That happens all the time in baseball. So we need to get past that. And then if they're still killing it after that, then they're the best team in baseball.
Well, and I think they also have Barnes, Hembry, Kelly, Kimbrel. By the way, Craig Kimbrel, somebody's got to do a bro save on him. Somebody needs to walk up to Craig Kimbrel and say, look, dude, you and I are really close. Nobody else can say this to you but me. You got to shave that beard. Because I'm telling you, Craig Kimbrel's beard it's got to be infected with ticks.
I doubt he's wearing it because he likes the way it looks.
Oh, it's gnarly. Like, somebody get him to Dollar Shave Club or something, because that beard's gnarly. I'm going to say that the Red Sox are really close. I think the year that Rick Porcello's having, and I know this is going to sound crazy because he's 11-3, he gives up too many hits, and it scares me. He's a guy that's given up 111 hits in 118 innings.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of hits for a starting pitcher. And really, when you look at Chris Sale so dominant and David Price has been okay, not great, and Eduardo Rodriguez has been really good and unproven, that's what makes me nervous. If they get a pitcher, then I think they're the best team in baseball. But I say baseball because, again, I'm looking at the Cubs sputtering to the All-Star break. Chris Bryant is in Tennessee tonight on a rehab start. And
sputtering into the All-Star break when they're 7-1 in their last eight?
Yeah, like, but look at who they're 7-1 against.
It doesn't matter. They're 7-1.
See, but
bro,
when are
you going to accept success? Dude, when they're 7-1.
When they are not chasing the Milwaukee Brewers in the Central, that's when I will accept success. They are
going 7-1 when you're leading the division is different than going 7-1 and putting in your best effort when you're a game and a half out.
Well, but
it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing because this is just my Chicago Cub paranoia. I fully admit that that's part of this. They're chasing the Milwaukee Brewers, who don't have a pitching staff to speak of. Like, all of these issues in Milwaukee. And they can't get by them. And they get, you know, the other week they get swept by the Reds. And Well, look, I get it. I understand that this Cub team is not going to go undefeated, and I'm not asking them to. But what I am asking for is consistently good starting pitching.
Well, because that's not going to happen this year, and I think it hasn't happened since the beginning of the season.
But isn't that why the Cubs are in second place and not in first?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you should be saying, well, you're essentially saying that it really isn't that big a deal that they're 7-1 going into the All-Star break. I mean, if they win their next few games, they're in great shape. That's exactly how you want to finish the first half.
And again, this is no surprise. I'm a huge skeptic. They've won these seven games that you talk about against the Reds, the Tigers, and the Twins. And they struggled to beat the Twins. They did not struggle to beat the Tigers.
But when you look at the Twins series, perfect example. That was a series full of high-scoring games.
Yeah.
One-run, high-scoring game.
Right, but they're giving up 10, 9, and 6 to the Twins. And then you're giving up 7 and 5.
But they're also hitting. They're also outperforming those teams. Yeah, I get that they're not getting the pitching, but they're also winning the game. Yep. And your biggest complaint for the longest time was they don't hit. Their approach is terrible.
Their approach has definitely gotten better. There's no question about that. But if I go through some of these wins, it's late game heroics. They beat the Reds because Joey Votto dropped a ball at first base. He was trying to take a ball from his glove to his hand. He dropped it before he stepped on the base. That essentially won them the game. Like, they're not getting great pitching performances. Kyle Hendricks is a real freaking problem right now. You know, and they're going to San Francisco, and then they go to San Diego after that.
So what happens if they win all six of those, or how many ever games that is?
I can't see them. I would love to see them do that. That would be amazing. I would love
but
to see
But you would still say, but my point here is that I don't think you're considering the whole picture. Okay, yeah, the pitching's not good this year. It hasn't been good. John Lester's really been the only reliable
core. Yes.
He's been the only guy that's really given you, hey, every fifth day John goes out and does his thing. Maybe the bullpen can get a rest today. Like, he's been that guy for them. Everybody else has let you down, whether it's Quintana, whether it's the Darvish saga, whether it's Hendricks, like, everybody else.
Chatwood's been awful.
Chatwood's been awful, shouldn't even be in the rotation anymore. My point is that for a team that has no pitching, and you say that about the Brewers, but I say it about the Cubs, for a team that has no pitching, they're doing pretty damn good.
The Brewers have pitched better than the Cubs.
And yet they're still only a game and a half up. That's what I'm saying.
That's scary. So, well, because, but again, Jake, the reason they're a game and a half up is because they've pitched better and the Cubs have hit better. And my philosophy has always been that good pitching always beats good hitting. And this is a little bit, a little part of this is my dissatisfaction with Joe Maddon. I am not hook, line, and sinker a guy that buys into Joe Maddon.
Not this year. But on the whole, I think you have been. I think everybody supported that move.
Boy, and they did win the World Series. They absolutely won the World Series.
That's in the past.
Right?
This is now.
Right. But my point is, that's the kind of crap that Joe Maddon does, where I just want to rake my eyes out with like a hot fork. Like, it just is so hard to watch. That was a bit extreme, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, Joe Maddon makes me a little crazy. And so I see Albert Almora Jr. not on the All-Star roster. Not even on the All-Star ballot, because he's not an everyday center fielder. Because Ian Happ, who's terrible in center field, is. Well, all of a sudden, now Elmore is playing a hell of a lot more center field, and Happ is playing second and third, and O'Brien's down, so now Bodie's back up, and Happ and Bodie are splitting third base, and it's like, dude, Albert Almora Jr. should have been your starting center fielder all year, and everybody knew that. He's a platoon player, and it's going to cost him now. And it's stuff like bullpen use. It's the Chapman World Series thing. There's a lot of question marks around this team, and I'm not saying you're rubber stamping them to the World Series, because you're certainly not. But I'm not comfortable with who the Cubs are. They don't feel like the best team in the National League.
Because they're not. They're not the best out. There is no best team in the National League. That's not what the National League is this year. There's a melting pot of area average teams.
Yeah, and I think they're better than the Braves. I think they're better than the Phillies.
Yeah, but that's not who the Cubs should be. That's not who the Cubs
exactly
should be.
Right.
That's not
Correct.
That's not the team they should be with the roster they have. And I agree they need to make a move. But I think at the end of the day, you have to during the course of a season, you have to acknowledge your little wins in order to stay afloat and to keep a good mindset. And for them, I think going 7-1, great. They did it against crappy teams. They can only play who's in front of them. They can't go out and pick the Dodgers to play every night. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's a nice sign. And if they're able to finish the first half strong, go into the second half on a high note, and then maybe go out and get a pitcher, they're in fine shape. I guarantee you they will win this division. It will happen.
Well, and I hope you're right. You know, because
it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a 10-game win.
But the last thing you want is to turn into the Nationals.
Yeah. Right?
And who lost in Pittsburgh tonight again. You don't want to do that. And that's what the Cubs, that's where the Cubs are teetering on. Because if Quintana and Chatwood and Hendricks, if those guys continue to just be average guys, this is going to be an average team.
But like Quintana and Hendricks have the ability to be better than they are. Chatwood doesn't. He, to me, is the weak link in
that
rotation.
He's a known commodity.
He's the guy. He should be your long man in the bullpen. That's what he should be, in my opinion. That's his role on that team.
But see, I think at some point, if we're the Chicago Cubs that have World Series aspirations, the DFA has to happen for Tyler Chatwood. He walks too many guys to be a bullpen guy. And this, I had this huge conversation with a bunch of Cubs fans in Chicago this weekend on Twitter. And I said the same thing. They're all like, oh, you can't do that. Why not? Why not? You have the great Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, who are very strong builders of baseball teams. You have a situation, and really it's De La Cruz, the top prospect for the Cubs, who got suspended for the rest of the year for steroid use or PED use. That kills you. Absolutely gutted them, because now they can't trade him. Because I think they would have traded him. He would have been in a Machado trade, without question. Now you can't do that. So I look at guys like John Lester, and all of a sudden he's the linchpin of the clubhouse. And you've got to find a way to get somebody other than Mike Montgomery. You got to find a way to get somebody other than Tyler Chatwood. Because right now you're John Lester and four other guys who take the ball.
Which is fine if they're producing, but they're not.
It's not fine, because you're supposed to be Lester, Quintana, Darvish, Hendricks, and then Chatwood was supposed to be your fifth guy who you could skip once a month. And now you need Tyler Chatwood to be something other than a guy that's 3-5 with a 5.01 ERA who's walked 70 guys and struck out 74. I mean, that's a number that's just
nobody's saying that he should be in the rotation. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that at some point you have to understand that Darvish is not in the picture the rest of the year. In my opinion, I don't think he is a quality contributor the rest of the year. I don't think he's ever going to give you 7 innings and 3 runs or less the rest of the year. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Anyway, we got totally derailed on this. My point is, I look at Machado, and I think his best landing spot is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I think they have the prospects to get him, and you're going to have to send out, you're going to have to make a tough choice at the major league level, because you can't, in my opinion, you cannot consistently pay the luxury tax. Which if they trade for and then sign him long-term, Machado, they will pay the luxury tax for a long time to come. And I that's not a way to win baseball games. That's not a way to win World Series titles. And that's the expectation in LA. So you're going to have to make some really difficult choices. And whether that, if you pick him up, you trade Seager, I don't know. Are you trading Justin Turner? I don't know.
Yeah.
Because those two guys are linchpins. So if we're trading for...
Well, Seager's expendable, for sure.
You think so?
I think he is, yeah. I think he's... because of what Machado wants to do, Seager's expendable. And Machado's a better player than Corey Seager is, in my opinion. Maybe not defensively at shortstop, but he's a better hitter. He's a better defender at third base.
Well, he's just about a better hitter than everybody.
Well,
you
great.
Know, like, I mean,
like,
he's,
great.
He's an elite bat.
Okay, so trade Justin Turner and keep Corey Seager coming off of an injury. Well, they can't do that this year because Corey Seager's not going to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So who are you letting go?
That's a tough one, dude. I don't know the answer to that, because my question is, okay, well, does Corey Seager play second base? or a guy with a he's going to be coming off a TJ. Maybe you move him over, and you know maybe the Logan Forsythe Chase Utley experiment comes to an end. Well, you would think if you're the Dodgers that it would come to an end.
Yeah.
But then you look back at the payroll, and I just don't think they clearly don't have the budget to add.
No.
A guy like Machado.
No.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. Everybody's got the Ben Zobrist on their team. And for them, that's Chase Utley. That's a Logan Forsythe. That's that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think of Muncy versus Belt?
I think Muncy's probably the better value long term just because of where they're at in their career. I think this whole Muncy thing has been the guy has just come out of nowhere, frankly.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how you describe that other than a change of scenery really helped him.
Out of baseball.
Yeah, you know, and now he's hitting really well. Brandon Belt has always been a guy who is a quality player, but he's never gotten over the top with his career. He's never been a 35 home run guy. Like, he's never been a premier first base acquisition. The guy's just been an elite defender in San Francisco, and he's had a nice career. So if Muncy can do this over the course of an entire season, he's probably a better player. But I have trouble moving on from Brandon Belt. The guy's a solid piece.
Is he an all-star or is Muncy an all-star?
I would rather see Belt be an all-star, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think Muncy's going to win that vote. The story's just too good. But, hey, here near there, Zimmerman versus Mark Reynolds. Nationals lost again.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Reynolds is a nice little story. 10 bombs, knuckleball that struck, you know, got a little ground ball to first. He didn't cover the bag, but it's okay. No problem. Matt Adams picked it up, got him out. Like, Mark Reynolds is a fun story. And I think he's one of the better parts about the Nationals this year. But they're not a good baseball team. And they are probably going to get Ryan Zimmerman back right after the All-Star break. Certainly in the month of July. He's about to go out. He had an oblique. He's about to go out on a rehab. What do you do with Mark Reynolds?
I think it all depends what he's doing the day that Ryan Zimmerman's back and ready to, you know, see time on the field again, right? Like, so if Mark Reynolds is still producing, still hitting home runs, still having great at-bats, like still just continuing to perform, I don't think Zimmerman should be able to just say, yep, you know, Mark Reynolds can sit now and I'm at first base. I don't think that's the decision you should make because – yeah, Zimmerman's a legacy guy. Yeah, he's the best player the Nationals ever had. Great. That doesn't help you today. It doesn't make it okay to just set a guy down who's been one of your best hitters over, sure, 40 games, and that's what you're going to say, but I still think it matters. Since you've got him, he's been one of your best hitters, and there's no other way around that. Now, if that all of a sudden falls off, okay, great, he's out. Put Zimmerman in. But as long as he's still producing at a high level, as long as he's still a staple in the middle of that lineup, I think he's got to be in there.
Nationals are a 500 baseball team.
Yeah. I don't think putting Zimmerman in there over Reynolds makes them a 600 baseball team because that's not what first base does for you. That's pitching. That's overall lineup production. That's not just Zimmerman coming in and hitting, you know, 25 bombs the rest of the year. Because I don't think I don't think that would happen. Sure, he'd hit for average because he's a great hitter. But I don't think he's going to just come in and give you amazing production.
Yeah, I think it's that lift of having your guy back. Because you're right. He's the best player in the history of the Washington Nationals. And that includes a guy in right field. Like, I mean, he's been there 14 years. He's a guy that's got, you know, 250 home runs. He's going to finish his career well over 1,000 RBIs. I mean, this is a guy that
is
a silver slugger, a gold glove winner, an all-star.
He's got every accolade you want except for one.
Hasn't won a World Series yet. And that's
it. Hasn't put him over the top either.
Yeah, and that's probably true.
And neither is Bryce, by the way. And I'm not saying that's a slight against Zimmerman when we're talking about him or Reynolds, but I'm just saying when you talk about reasons why Zimmerman should go back on the field, I think you're exactly right. That's one of the best reasons because he could give them a mental lift. But saying that Zimmerman should play over Reynolds because of his legacy is just—it's just trash, in my opinion. I don't think it's a good reason.
But I also, legacy shouldn't put him on the field. But I mean, he is a really good player. I mean, Ryan Zimmerman is a guy that you can count on without question. And This is the Bryce Harper conversation. Hell, Jake, this is the Mike Trout conversation. This is Mike Trout being wasted, a guy that's having a generational performance night in and night out in Anaheim. And you have Bryce Harper, who's clearly a notch below Mike Trout by any estimation now.
Yep.
And it just makes me wonder what's wrong with this team. And
it's just not there. The intangible is not there. Like, it really, and that's about as dumbed down as I can put it. Like, it's just, like, remember when the Cubs won the World Series and they were, like, this special team and the locker room meeting happened in Cleveland? And
Jason
like,
Hayward's all these, crying.
Like, all yeah, these, yeah. like, special moments and, like, the juju was kind of there. It's never been there in Washington, even when Dusty was there. You knew when Bryce was coming up to hit against Wade Davis at 50 pitches, he still wasn't going to hit him. Because that wasn't meant to be. Like, you could you could just tell. You could just feel it. Like, not even being there. Like, just, like, because in the postseason, I watch, like, if I'm going to watch a postseason game, you got to watch it from beginning to end to understand.
Yes.
You have to. So, we're sitting there watching the whole game, and you just knew. So, that's why I say, I think at some point, if you're the Nationals, you have to consider, you know, maybe not tearing the whole thing down, but you have to consider taking a different direction. And I think part of that might be trading Bryce. I don't know if that is, but that's in the conversation. Because I think there's
at the deadline.
I don't know about at the deadline. I don't know about this year, but I think...
But not re-signing him then.
Not re-signing him, yeah. But part of me is like, well, if you're not going to re-sign him, then you need to trade him. Because you're losing a ton of value. Like, if you're not going to re-sign... This is the NBA conversation. If you're not going to re-sign the best player on your team, arguably the best player on your team... Then why not trade him?
Yeah.
Because we think we're going to push for the postseason, but you know you're not going to win. You know you're not winning
this
the World
This is not
Series.
A world championship caliber club.
You know that.
Yeah.
So trade him. Get prospects. Get a better future. Get more Sotos on your team.
Get more arms.
Get more arms. Yeah. Right. Like, that's like, I can't. It's just that simple.
Yeah. I'm amazed at the year. And Bryce has never been consistently a 300 hitter in his career. Last year at the plate, he was better at 319 and 29 bombs. But this is a guy who's never had 100 RBIs, and now he's at
but
two.
But is that his fault or is that the team's fault?
Because that's the team's fault.
I agree.
Yeah.
See, I agree with that.
And it's this BS where everybody wants to hit him lead off or second or Bryce Harper should be batting third every night, no matter how like, well or how poorly he's going.
But like, if you look at some of the best pure hitters that we've seen over the last decade, like Miguel Cabrera is a better all-around pure hitter than Harper is. Now, Harper might have more power. Harper might have more swag. But Miguel Cabrera can beat you in so many different ways, it's not even funny. And that's why he was consistently at 110, 115 RBIs.
Yeah.
You know?
Dominant performer at the plate. Yeah.
You know?
Look, and I also think the sabermetric angle of Major League Baseball has changed a lot.
It has.
I mean, just the way you use a guy, shifting, no shifting, shift
leading
over here,
the
shift
guy
over
off.
There. Yeah. Like, why are we... I will never understand Anthony Rizzo as a leadoff hitter, Chris Bryant as a leadoff hitter, Bryce Harper is a leadoff hitter, and on and on, and I'll never understand
Sergio Romo starting a game.
I'll never understand it. Well, in Tampa, it's because you didn't have an arm.
And by the way, you can do that in Tampa. You're
yes,
never
you
going
to
see that in Yankee land or Red Sox land or Dodger land.
Correct.
You're never going to see that.
Correct. It's mind-boggling to me. But I think Bryce Harper, I don't see Rizzo and the guys in Washington trading him. I just don't. You know, Riz has been through so much at that as a GM of that franchise.
Like, but why do we do this in sports? Oh, well, this guy, this is Bryce Harper. This is LeBron James. We're not going to trade him because we think he can go out and beat the Warriors, which was never going to happen. Ever. This year was never going to happen. So we're just going to let him walk away because he was clearly going to walk away, clearly going to the Lakers. We all predicted that. And don't listen to Philly, but we all predicted that. So why wouldn't we trade Bryce? Trade him. He's having
a
terrible year.
I would trade him. But when you have the monetary, the physical, the emotional, the fan investment in a guy like Bryce.
Yeah.
It's awfully hard to say, hey, we're going to trade Bryce Harper. Hey, we're going to trade Strasburg. You know,
but like Strasburg, like I can even make the case that Strasburg has earned his value. Strasburg has pulled his weight.
He has.
Like, he's consistently pulled his weight. He's had injury, and he had to deal with the pitch count limitation thing a few years back. Like, we had to go through all this stuff with him, but he's worth it. He's one of the best arms in the league.
DeGrom?
One of the best arms in the league. I wouldn't trade DeGrom. I would humor Syndergaard, but I wouldn't trade DeGrom.
I almost would never, or at least I'd be reticent to trade starting pitching.
I would trade Zach Wheeler. 100%.
Yeah, because I don't think he's an ace.
Yeah.
DeGrom and Syndergaard are ace-caliber pitchers. Strasburg, I don't think, is a number one anymore because you can't trust him to be healthy.
Yeah.
Scherzer's a number one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never trade Max Scherzer.
But, like, Scherzer and Strasburg together work.
Yes.
That works, yes. Dude.
And if, listen, you know, obviously we talk a lot of Padres and NL West on the show. If you're the Padres, why wouldn't you call Washington and see what it would take to get Strasburg? You know, why wouldn't you?
I would do that with Strasburg. I wouldn't do it with Harper because I don't think no. Bringing Harper to the team right now really helps you long term. And I don't think it gives you it. Like, yeah, it brings an aura to the team. It brings you a lot of eyes. It probably gets you some credibility long term.
But didn't they do this with Justin Upton and Matt Kemp?
But Justin Upton's not Bryce Harper. Matt Kemp was. He definitely was. But Justin Upton was never.
But you know what I mean. They went out and got a bunch of dudes in San Diego, yeah. Right? This is why the Manny Machado conversation is so ridiculous for the Padres.
But that, like, that's even further extreme. Like, yeah. That's even farther past the line.
Correct.
Dude. Like I would do Harper before I would do Machado.
Like, I give up my best prospects to get a Jacob DeGrom. If I'm the Padres, if I'm
10-year solution.
Yeah. If I'm any team in baseball, and I say the Padres because they have the best farm system in baseball. And you can point to whoever their best pitching prospect is, Paddock, Lucchesi. I mean, just pick the pitcher you want.
I would say Lucchesi.
Pick the pitcher you want. You can have him as long as I'm getting DeGrom back. As long as I'm getting Scherzer back.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not going to trade my number one prospect for Steven Strasburg.
In my opinion, the Padres aren't in a position where they can go out and get a DeGrom and all of a sudden they're a winner.
But if in this NL West, if they had a true, pure ace, if Perdomo had lived up to it, you know, if any of their number ones step forward this year and were dominant as an ace, they would be, what's that?
If you still had Greinke.
If the Dodgers still had Greinke, I mean, just pick the guy.
Yeah.
If the San Diego Padres had an ace, a pure number one, they'd be 7 games out.
Yeah.
Instead That's of fair. The whatever they, I think they're 11 and a half or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's 11.
Yeah. So anyway, here, no, there. I love talking baseball. That's 33 minutes on baseball in a blink. Can we talk about Chipotle before we get to the NBA?
Please? Let's listen to you rip Chipotle.
What? Why would you say something like that?
Yeah.
We're just going to have a conversation, brah.
It'll be constructive.
What kind of restaurant is Chipotle?
It's not a restaurant. It's a fast food joint.
Okay, what kind? You're such a dick. What kind of joint is Chipotle? Is it a Mexican place or is it a burrito place?
In my opinion, the way I eat at Chipotle, it's a Mexican place for me. I would say nationally, you're right. They're known for their burritos, and they do a horrible job rolling burritos somehow. And by the way, I should say that I worked at a burrito place for quite some time, and we rolled burritos.
Which one was it?
Freebird's Rolled Burrito.
Freebird, yeah.
I worked there for a heck of, like, just 2-3 years at least.
How many burritos do you think you've rolled in
thousands. Thousands. Easily thousands. And there's something there called a Super Monster, and it's literally a 20-pound burrito with 4 tortillas.
What's it molded after?
Huh?
What's it shaped or molded after?
Burritos.
Thank you. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a child.
Yeah. you know, so it's this burrito that probably is 4 days worth of food.
Yeah.
And we rolled it, we tinfoiled it, and you could literally hold it, like put your hand in the middle of the burrito, and it wouldn't bend, it wouldn't break. It's perfect. Why?
Nothing.
Why?
You know, hey, it's very large.
Plump.
Yes, it's very thick, those burritos. Anyway, my point is, Business Insider wrote an article today that said, my favorite restaurant never on the history of the world, Chipotle, because it drives me crazy. BI says that Chipotle is making one critical mistake versus its competition. And it's that they don't know how to roll burritos.
100% agree.
And I say, amen, my brothers! Because my biggest single complaint, other than people died from food poisoning or whatever, E. coli, I think it was, at Chipotle.
Right, it didn't affect me, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure. You're bulletproof. I get it. But other than that, my biggest complaint is that I cannot eat a burrito because they, A, overfill them.
Well, that's the biggest problem right there. There's no other problem. That's the single biggest problem. Because when you put too much in the tortilla, it just can't hold it the right way. You can't roll it tight. And I think that's the biggest problem. When you're rolling burritos, it has to be clean. It has to be concise. It has to look a certain way.
You have to have the food properly layered in the middle of the freaking tortilla.
And I know this sounds super like picky and like we're being very short-sighted, but it's true. The way you put the way you pile it is a huge thing. Like, so the next time you go to Chipotle, watch them just, they literally just pile and pile and pile and pile. And the problem is that their portions are so big that it just overfills.
And you bite into, let's say, so you get your floppily loose rolled burrito at Chipotle. You bite into it and you may get an entire mouthful of guac.
And then the other problem is, you start considering, okay, well, what in that burrito is going to be watery that's going to deteriorate the tortilla?
And I'm a guy that gets pico and a lot of it.
So it's pico, it's the beans, whichever bean you like. It's going to be sour black cream beans. For sure, if you get sour cream, and guac. Those are the four main contributors. And any of the salsas, too, by the way. You know, pico, medium, hot, whatever you get. Any of that stuff is deteriorating the tortilla. So if you don't have, it really should be rice, it should be drained beans, it should then be the salsas, then the meats, and then the guac. Mix that together, smaller portions.
Down the middle of the tortilla, evenly placed, and then roll that mofo up.
Not hard.
And they don't. And the other thing that B.I. pointed out that I thought was a good you know, notation. Insight. Yeah, good insight. Is that their menu is boring. And millennials love Chipotle. Mm-hmm. But they're losing millennials because millennials want things like quesadillos.
You know what I say to boring. You know what I say to boring?
Yes.
They're reliable. I can count on them.
Yeah, and now when I go to Chipotle, and I probably eat there once a month. Mrs. Monty, I think, would eat there every night if I let her.
I probably eat Chipotle like 5-7 times a month.
Yeah, I think Mrs. Monty and I would probably eat there 3-4 times a month if I could.
Yeah,
I just don't love it. I wind up getting a burrito bowl.
Yeah.
And my wife makes a great point. Well, the tortilla alone at Chipotle is like 600 calories.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, Jake, because I know you are an apologist for Chipotle.
Look, you can say they don't roll burritos well. Okay, great. I get it. I never get a burrito anyway, so it doesn't really affect me.
But you don't get a burrito because they can't roll them.
But at the same time, I would never get a burrito. I would never, at my office job, I would never go to Chipotle and get a burrito because I know it's going to be messy either way. Like, anytime you get a burrito, it's going to be messy. And not just from Chipotle.
Dude,
I've eaten a lot of burritos in my life. Inevitably, at the end of the burrito, when you get to the end of the tortilla, whether it's well-made or not, it's going to be messy.
You're a Phoenix guy.
Mm-hmm.
Filiberto's is not a messy burrito.
I disagree. My biggest problem with Filiberto's is they wrap well, and everything's packed in there. The juice comes out the bottom. That's my biggest complaint about Filiberto's.
There's some truth in that.
The paper gets really wet.
But you know what? Filiberto's will put french fries in a burrito for you.
They made you sick, number one. Number two.
I did. Oh, that's right. I had violent vomiting at Filiberto's.
So I'll never go back there again, right? Like, so I'll never go back there again.
Correct.
If you got sick, I would never go back there again.
Yeah, because I never get sick.
It's just like you never get sick, so I would never go back there again. But number two, I think Chipotle is a cut above that. Their quality of food is a cut above, and I don't think it's a huge cut, but they're above Filiberto's.
And part of their messaging is that they're healthier.
Which I think
Chipotle.
Again, I think they would get healthier if their portions were smaller. And by the way, that means you do have to charge me a little bit less.
Yeah, and well, but they won't. And the other thing about Chipotle, before we move on here, the other thing about Chipotle is you have to instruct them on how to build your food. You have to tell them, hey, because when I go in there, I always tell them, black beans, and can you please drain them really well?
Mm-hmm.
Pico, can you please drain
again,
it really well?
I hate to say this, but who's working there? It's not skilled folks.
No, it's 18 to 20-year-olds usually.
Right, so they hate their job. They're tired of hearing from you. They would rather you just stop talking. Oh, they're talking.
Absolutely cranky.
And they don't want to hear from
you. What kind of beans? Black beans. What kind of rice? Brown rice. And they just want to throw it on there and move on.
So I totally agree that I think if I were Chipotle and I wanted to fix my brand, if I wanted to go to the next level, the tortilla thing, for sure. Number one biggest problem. But number two, the customer service side of it is a big deal. Because when you're doing that, you're a customer service place.
Freebirds was totally different. You had to be chipper. Yeah. You got in trouble if you were in a bad mood there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I totally agree with that. Anyway, if they bring out quesadillas, because right now a lot of people don't even know this, they'll make you a quesadilla if you ask them to at Chipotle, because they make kids quesadillas, cheese quesadillas.
Well, I think it's on their menu. I think people just don't realize they do it, because number one, it's a pain in the ass. And this is, again, this is me being picky, but if I were Chipotle, I'd have more than one tortilla press, like functioning. At Freebirds, we had four of them, and I could just hammer it out. Hammer it out, dude.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, I just wanted to let you know that
Business Insider. So we're having Chipotle for dinner, right?
No. Business Insider, again, confirmed my awesomeness. Yeah, I just wanted you to know that. Speaking of awesomeness, a couple of NBA headlines for you today. LiAngelo Ball agreed in principle to a contract with a professional basketball team today in the JBA, which is essentially the LaVar Ball League. He's going to play with his brother in Los Angeles. I think this kid's career is wrecked. I really do. He needs to go and play in Germany. He needs to go play Spain, lower levels in Spain, lower levels in Europe somewhere.
He needs to go play against people who are better than him.
Yeah. Because he is genuinely a gifted three-point shooter. LiAngelo can really shoot the ball. He is a guy that, against his own size and age, cannot finish at the rim. And he doesn't really have a handle. So he needs to go and get better. Does he ever even make it to the G League?
Yeah, I think he probably does at some point.
You think he does?
At some point. I don't think he ever gets to the NBA, though. If he gets to the NBA, that would be one of the greatest resurrections I've ever seen. I mean, for him to get to the NBA, I agree with you. He'd have to go overseas, disappear for 4 years, get better.
Almost get forgotten about.
Like, just fall off the face of the earth. Like, just don't be a ball for a while and just go and get better.
Go play in Australia. Go, like, if I were LaMelo, the youngest ball, I would go to an academy. And I don't like telling people how to parent their kids, because it's really hard. Being a parent is not easy. LaVar Ball has damaged the younger two. I think he's really hurt their prospects of playing in the NBA. LaMelo still got a shot because he's really talented. He needs to go and get better. And he needs to do that out from under the wing of LaVar Ball. Because it's not working. This JBA is a disaster. And my guess is this will be the only year it's in existence, I would guess. But those kids just have to get away from him. Devin Booker, 5 years, $158 million. Max extension with the Phoenix Suns. Go.
I mean, he earned it with the Suns. I don't think he'd have got that kind of money from a major contender. He's not getting that kind of money from the Lakers, I don't think.
Why?
Because I don't think he's that quality on a quality team. He can get that kind of money from a bad organization because they don't have anybody else that they want to pay that kind of money to. Because, by the way, they're not going to do anything this year.
Wow.
Like, you're not – tell me – okay, let's say he plays for the Sixers. He's getting that deal?
Yes.
I disagree.
Devin Booker
is – Ben Simmons is going to be arguably better – all-around player than Devin Booker is right now.
Devin Booker does two things much better than Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, obviously, shooting is one of them. Right, I mean, Devin Booker is a top five shooter in the NBA.
Yeah.
There are a few people I would want with 3 seconds on the clock to have the ball instead of Devin. Obviously, Steph is there. I don't know about James Harden. That's a different conversation.
He needs more time than that.
Yeah, but I would... Devin Booker's a guy I want to have the ball with the game on the line. But I think Devin Booker has this killer instinct where he wants desperately to win a championship. Like, if you follow him on Instagram, you'll see him, like, these games that he puts together now, like, he's actually putting games together and working and working. And this guy's motor to get better is phenomenal. He's got to learn to defend. But he's already a better shooter than your boy Ben Simmons. And he's got a much better, in my opinion, he's got a much better killer instinct. I think Ben Simmons was a zero in the playoffs, especially at the end of the playoffs. Yeah, well, but that's not Devin Booker's fault. Let's not be callous about it.
That may be callous, but let's not wax on about Devin Booker and how much better of a shooter he is and then say that, you know, Ben Simmons was a nobody in the postseason. I don't think that's fair.
Ben Simmons struggled with the game on the line.
For sure he did. And I think when you talk about wanting to get better, there's nobody I think right now, and you can make the case for Devin Booker, sure, I'm fine with that. But Ben Simmons knows his career is on the line. His career is absolutely on the line. Devin Booker's made it. He's got his money. He's made it. Now everything after this is how far he wants to take it. And that's great. That's a great position to be in. He's earned that. I get it. But when you're talking about wanting to get better, Ben Simmons is showing us, like, if he comes back and he can shoot and he makes us forget about this embarrassing rookie campaign of his from a three-point line, nobody's going to remember it. Like, if he comes back with a shot, he's going to be one of the best players I've ever seen.
CJ McCollum or Devin Booker?
Devin Booker.
Bradley Beal or Devin Booker? Devin Booker by a lot.
It's not by a lot. You're off. It's not by a lot.
If Devin Booker's on the Celtics, let's say if...
Devin Booker or Gordon Hayward?
Devin Booker.
I'm surprised you would say that.
Devin Booker. The only thing that separates the two is elite shooting. Gordon is an elite mid-range shooter. So is Devin Booker, but Devin's also an elite three-point shooter. And the only difference is Gordon Hayward can actually defend at a pretty decent clip, which is what I was going to say. What if Dennis Lindsay had drafted Devin Booker instead of Trey Lyles or whatever year that was? I think it was Trey Lyles.
It'd be a different organization, sure.
But Devin Booker would be a hell of a defensive player, because he would have been exposed to Quinn Snyder. He would have been exposed to that group that lives and dies on defense, and he'd still be the shooter, because nobody made Devin Booker a good shooter. Devin Booker made himself an elite shooter with the caliber of competition he played over the summer and in the offseason. He works tirelessly.
So if he's this great player in the West, yeah. when this year, because I can't wait to have this conversation, because I'm pretty sure I know the result. When he's facing the best talent in the league, and I'm talking one-on-one in games. I'm not talking about who wins the game or anything like that. I'm talking about his matchup. So who would you, in the West, who's a fair matchup for him? I mean, he's, who would be ideal for him to go against, would you say?
Klay.
Okay, great. Him and Klay Thompson. I'm taking Klay Thompson. I'm not taking Devin
Booker. I'm taking Klay Thompson because Klay is a superior on-ball defender.
And I think Klay is a superior shooter.
I think Klay is arguably the best shooter in basketball and better than Steph. When you're at that level, when you are, because I could put Steph, Klay, Devin Booker certainly is there. Like amongst the best shooters in the NBA, it's millimeters different. Like it's so close.
It's literally just who makes it.
Yeah, it's so close. The difference is always going to be the intangibles, and Devin is too young and has not had to feel the pressure of the postseason yet.
I don't think he's had the pressure to win.
Right, which is because he's in the worst organization in the NBA.
But this is what I'm saying. You're making my point. He made this contract and took money from a terrible organization, which means, and I'm not saying he's doing this because all he wants is the money. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is he's staying there because there's security there.
Well, no, he's staying there because he said he wants to be a one-team guy his entire career.
Well,
and part of this, though, Jake, is that I think they're getting better, but they're never going to be elite.
Not in this age in the West. They're never going to win the West.
They'll make the playoffs inside of the next 2-3 years. They'll be a playoff team.
And that'll be a nice achievement. And then we'll be able to say that Devin Booker made the playoffs. And then the next step is him getting to the Western Conference Finals and so on and so forth.
But you got to understand.
He's got to get Kyrie on his
but
team.
They're
that
never
needs to
going,
happen.
But Jake, they're never going to the Western Conference Finals.
If they get Kyrie, I think that changes. Kyrie's
not going there.
Well,
But why would you go to Phoenix?
Because there's rumors. There's noise that Kyrie wants to play with Devin Booker.
Right. That may be true. That won't be in Phoenix. Nobody in their right mind.
So then why would he sign that contract?
Because A, you can trade that money. That's not a difficult contract to trade. And B, it's lifetime money. You don't walk away from that.
But this is what I'm saying. If he's this great player,
uh-huh.
if you're a great player in the NBA, you know you're going to get paid.
Right. You don't walk away from a max contract ever. When you're Devin Booker and you're coming out of your rookie deal, you sign that first max because you're going to get another one. He knows this is not his last contract. This is not LeBron going to LA for 4 years, right? Devin's probably got three more max deals in his future. Because this is a guy, I think he's going to be all NBA on this contract. He will be. I think he will be a perennial all-star the rest of this contract. Like, he right now is working to take that next step. He needs Josh Jackson or Ayton or somebody. Because it's not going to be Bender or Chris. You know, like, finally got rid of Lenz. Like, they're moving in the right direction. Devin Booker needs guys around him because look how teams are defending him. They're beating him up because he's got nobody else. It's why Kevin Durant transformed Steph Curry. Because Steph doesn't get his ass kicked like he used to. Because Kevin Durant takes too much attention. Klay didn't take that kind of attention. Kevin Durant takes that kind of attention. So you need somebody, like you need DeAndre Ayton to be a stud. And it looks like he will be. He's had a really good summer so far. You need him, and you need Josh Jackson to take the next step this year. You need him to consistently shoot the ball. You need him to get in the weight room because he's still getting physically dominated, even in summer ball.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, Devin Booker's a max player. Devin Booker, if he was on a good team, if he had gone to Utah, Devin Booker would be, he'd be a monster right now because he'd be defending and he'd have all this offense. So I love the Devin Booker move. All right, we've gone 51 minutes now and we have not said those three initials. We've not said LBJ, LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll finish with LeBron James. And that is because Kyrie... Do you like Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, I do. I think he's weird, but I think he's one of the best players in the league.
The guy thinks the earth is flat.
Yeah, I mean,
tell me something
dude.
I don't know.
He's a weird dude, right? Like, he is. That's who the guy is. But, again, we're going to get into this right now, but I think Kyrie, like, arguably, he is the best point guard in the NBA. Like, you can make the case one-on-one, defensively, like you can make the case he's better than Steph, he's better than Dame, he's better than John Wall, like he's better than all these guys easily. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even close.
And he wants the ball with the championship on the line.
You want to talk about a killer? That guy's a killer. That
Absolutely.
Guy is an all-around offensive freaking beast. Like that's who he is. And so you're about to tell this story, and I'm gonna be on Kyrie's side of things here, for sure.
So LeBron James leaves Cleveland in 2010. Right? Goes to Miami. He comes back, and they've got Kyrie Irving. And he says to Kyrie at one point, hey, man, just keep grinding, because you never know, I might be back in Cleveland. And Kyrie's reaction to that is, I don't want you here. Why would I want you here? What? I don't need you. And right then and there, I'm like, yeah, you actually, I don't know how to break the news to you, bro. You actually do need LeBron James. Because without LeBron James, he certainly doesn't have a championship. I'm not even sure he's got the shoes. I'm almost positive he's not Uncle Drew.
Okay, I agree with you. Up until the point you said he doesn't have the shoes. He made Uncle Drew. He has the best handle in the league. Nike would have come to him either way.
I
think the way.
I disagree.
How
with that.
Though? Go into this farce because there's no way that Kyrie Irving was not going to be a star. The guy was already dominating people before LeBron
he
ever
was,
came back.
But like, but you don't become a. It's Devin Booker. Devin Booker's dominating people.
Right,
you
and
don't
nobody
become,
pays
you,
attention because right, he plays for Phoenix.
Right, but they were Cleveland. They were just the.
They were Kyrie and everybody else. You watch
okay.
Cleveland because Kyrie was
but
there.
But it doesn't matter.
Why does
they
it not matter?
Because they weren't relevant. When did they become
so,
relevant?
So the team
when LeBron
being,
went back to Cleveland.
So the team being relevant means that he would or would have not gotten shoes?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
How do you figure that?
Because if you're on a losing team, nobody's buying your shoes.
So that's why Devin Booker has his own shoe? That's why,
he
like...
But does anybody know that Devin Booker's got his own shoe? No.
Well, it's on Nike.com for sure.
But does anybody know? No, Would anybody have bought Air Jordans if he was on a terrible team his entire career? No! You're not the legend of Michael Jordan because you were just an also-ran. You're the legend of Michael Jordan because you beat the Pistons and you beat the Knicks and you beat the Pacers and you beat the Sonics and you beat the Blazers and you beat the Suns and you beat the Lakers. That's why you're Michael Jordan. Because you hit the shot on Elo.
That's great. Those are all career legacy moments for him.
Right, but Kyrie would never have had the game-winning shot in the NBA Finals without LeBron because that team would have sucked.
Right, and he's not known for that. He's known for his handle. That's when you hear Kyrie Irving. Oh. When you tell, what am I wrong about there?
Come on, man.
What am I wrong about?
Come on. You and I just want to make sure I'm getting
his
this
legacy
right.
Is not that he beat the Warriors. His legacy is that he's Uncle Drew. When you think Kyrie Irving,
oh man,
I'm serious. When you think Kyrie Irving, you think the guy's got a ridiculous handle. I'm not watching Kyrie.
No,
Irving.
I don't, and I'm not even a Kyrie hater. I'm really not. I think Kyrie Irving gets hurt a lot. That's what I think. And without LeBron James, let me ask you this seriously: without LeBron James, what is Kyrie Irving known for?
Handling the ball. That's what I'm saying.
Right, while he sits on the bench rehabbing. Because he would be
great.
Known
That's
as a
what
guy.
He did this year, too, and everybody said, and you want to talk about the guy's reputation. Uh-huh. He may get hurt a lot, but everybody knows that they would have gone to the finals if Kyrie Irving was playing.
They went all the way through the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm. Without him. And
without
they didn't
Kyrie.
Win. And it doesn't matter because they didn't win in the biggest moment. That's the biggest problem. LeBron beat you, Jason Tatum. LeBron beat you, Jaylen Brown.
All I'm saying is, then why are we talking about trading for Kawhi? Because nobody trusts that Kyrie Irving is going to be healthy. That's absolutely part of his legacy. He doesn't have a championship. He doesn't probably have a playoff run.
I would agree.
Without LeBron.
None of the playoff stuff happens without LeBron because in today's league, I agree with you. In today's league, you need to have at least two. Like LeBron needed Paul George before the OKC thing happened. So he either needed Paul George or Kawhi Leonard.
So you would, and think about it this way: you'd have Anthony Bennett, you'd have Andrew Wiggins, right?
But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so think about if LeBron wasn't there, Andrew Wiggins would be a Cavalier right now.
Well, but who's Andrew Wiggins? And I think this is a really critical point.
Andrew Wiggins is a different freaking player if he never met LeBron James, in my opinion.
Well, he never did meet him.
Well, LeBron traded him.
And Andrew Wiggins has told this story. LeBron never even called him. The Cavs traded Andrew Wiggins, and LeBron never even spoke to him. So my point is, Kyrie's not making you better. Kyrie's not winning championships for Kyle Korver, Kevin Love. You know, Richard Jefferson comes to mind. Like, guys want to gravitate to LeBron James. Are they gravitating to Kyrie Irving? I don't think so.
Then you're a LeBron fan and a Kyrie hater. That's what you are.
But I'm certainly not a LeBron fan. I'm a realist in the NBA, right? My realist on Kyrie Irving is, I just think he's a really special talent who can't stay healthy. And if you can't play for me, you're not that special anymore, man. And it's cool he's got the movie and the shoes and the ring.
But at the end of the day, you didn't win junk. You didn't win anything because Kyrie was on the bench. So if you're going to say that, well, he's hurt and, you know, you're not a special player anymore because you can't play for me, you're not a special team if you can't win without Kyrie Irving. Because the best teams, a.k.a. the Warriors, not the Rockets, can win without you. And the Boston Celtics can't do that. LeBron James can't do that.
LeBron went and won without him.
What do you mean he went and won without him? He wouldn't have gotten to the finals without Kyrie Irving.
This is one of the most... No, this year.
Right, and
one of the most improbable runs ever. LeBron James...
So because he went on the run and
Same. Yeah, what have we talked about since April, May, June, certainly? LeBron James just had one of the best postseason runs in the history of the NBA.
Right.
He did not win. I agree with you.
But I don't think it's fair to change the narrative. You're ripping Kyrie because he wouldn't have won without LeBron. But then when LeBron didn't win without Kyrie, he had a great improbable run.
First of all, LeBron's already got rings.
Right, right? And that's like, fair. That's
he's
fine.
He's got rings.
Sure, yeah.
Kyrie doesn't have a ring without LeBron. LeBron's got rings without Kyrie. Now, you want to talk about Miami and the decision and the super teams? Okay, there's a conversation to be had there, just not
this one. Has LeBron ever done it without any help? Didn't do it without... He had help in
this
Miami.
This year, he didn't win a championship without help. I will agree with you.
He had a great run. He had a great run. Historic run.
But to your point, that's what this league is. You got to have 2-3 superstars to
for
make
sure.
a run.
Yeah.
Right? And they didn't have... They had one superstar in Cleveland this year.
Mm-hmm.
They had no, there was no support
I don't
there.
Think Kevin Love is a special player. And everybody thinks he is. I don't think he is.
I think he's an elite rebounder and a pretty good three-point shooter.
Exactly.
And that's
his role.
But my point is, LeBron was on his own. And he still was unbelievably dominant. And he did beat the Pacers. He did beat the Raptors. He did beat the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ran into the best team of
sure.
Probably modern basketball.
They'll be the best team of this decade by a lot.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just think without LeBron, Kyrie's a zero. Honestly.
That's just too far. That's just too far. Like, how are you going to say Kyrie's a zero?
Because he's always hurt.
Right.
He is always
dude,
hurt.
Yeah, okay. Steph
always
is always hurt. Steph is always hurt. Steph is always a no-show.
No.
He's not a zero. How is Steph not always hurt?
Because, well, he misses significant time, but he's able to come back. He's been on the floor during their wins, during their championships, during their loss to the Cavs. He was on the floor for that. He was there. It's not like Kyrie Irving has these catastrophic injuries, this knee injury that's kept him out. Missing game sevens, missing the entire postseason for the Celtics this year, who relied on him, which was their mistake at the end of the day. You know, like it just is, there's a difference. We'll agree to disagree, but there's a difference. One more basketball note that I really want to get to. Grayson Allen. Two brawls, two altercations. One with Trae Young, who... I'm not saying I told you
that
so.
That was entertaining TV, though.
I'm not saying I told you so, but Trae Young's not going to be in this league long.
Yeah.
He gets into it with Trae Young, whatever. That was not a big deal. He gets into it the other night, gets punched in the face. And I'm just telling you, the guy's a really good shooter, and he's a tenacious defender. I think he's going to be a rock for the Jazz. I can't stand him if he's not on my team, but, man, I love that guy if he's on my team. Because he is, and the guy that comes to mind is Matthew Dellavedova.
They're the same guy.
No.
They're the same guy.
No. One, Grayson Allen has tangible skills, and I don't want to punch him repeatedly in the face with my knee.
Several times. Dude, the guy's a dirty player. He is.
In college, he was a dirty player.
He's still, once a dirty player, always a dirty
player.
That's how
it
works.
I think Grayson Allen at Duke had maturity issues. And the tripping stuff.
So
and
now a year removed, he doesn't have maturity issues. The guy is always in the heat, in the biggest moments.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you said about Durant in a sense. Yeah. In the biggest moments, some guys can't handle it. And I'm not saying he's there yet. I'm not saying
that's who he is.
I'm just saying that when you do that crap at Duke under Coach K, I'm not ever putting it past you to do it again in the NBA under Quinn Snyder. Who, by the way, is a great coach, a defensive genius, really.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah, I get it. You love him on your team, but I don't. This isn't hockey. This is the NBA.
I don't want to play against him. I don't want to go against Grayson
Allen.
He's
the guy that I want Durant to eat for lunch every time down the floor. Like, every time.
But here's the problem. Kevin Durant can't.
How? Because how do you figure that?
Because Grayson Allen is good enough that he can stand in front of a guy like Durant, and he is long enough that he can cause a problem. And the other thing is, he's physical. He knows how to use his shoulders. He knows how to use his biceps to get into you. He knows, like, Grayson Allen is a difficult guy to go head-to-head with. He's not going to be better than you, but you are rarely going to get the best of him. And he's, I'm telling you, He's gonna have a 10-year career. He's gonna be Christian Laettner.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's gonna be Matt Harpering. He's gonna be that guy that just grinds your ass into the floor, and you're gonna hate him every time. And then one day he's gonna wind up on your team, and you're gonna, man, I hated you.
So he's gonna be Shane Battier.
That kind of guy. He's gonna be, yeah. And the thing is, Grayson Allen's got legitimate skills. Trae Young doesn't have an NBA body or NBA skills. Like, he can shoot and he can run, and that's it. I don't know how.
So he's Kyle Korver.
Just much smaller. Like, he needs to, Trae Young just needs to spend every day at Olive Garden eating pasta. Just gain weight, man. Like, that's it. And have them set up a bench press in the parking lot so that you can eat your bowl of linguine and then you can go out there and knock out, you know, 100 reps. Because this guy is just tiny. There's no way he's going to play.
And that's what they said about Steph.
But Steph has this thing where he can make he can be a block away and it's going in.
Steph, but what I'm saying is that they said that about Steph. They said there was no way he was going to make it.
Well, and that's true. We're judging him on a very small exposure in summer ball. So let's see what Trae Young does. He's not on a good team.
No.
The Atlanta's terrible. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Grayson Allen, I'd take him on my team. If I'm the Lakers, I'd take Grayson Allen every day. No doubt.
Are you
about
a Laker
that.
Fan now? Can you just admit to it?
I'm not going to say I'm a casual observer of the LA Lakers.
Oh my God.
The problem is I'm not a LeBron apologist. We'll probably get into this tomorrow on some level. But looking at the pictures of him signing his contract today with Rob Pelinka, it doesn't feel great. You know what I mean? Like, yes,
right,
I'm a Laker
Kobe.
Fan. Right.
He's
I'm a Laker fan because I worked around that team and like I was a huge Kobe supporter and maybe it just needs to get into the season and we need to see him in the uniform and but there's just
and the ugly ass shoes need to come out and
oh yeah. His but if the renderings of his next shoe are truly his next shoe, oh, it's like I'm a shoe guy, by the way. If you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, MONTY The Monty Show, you know I'm a shoe guy. It's incredible. Dude, we are an hour and 7 minutes into the show, and we haven't even talked about the soccer players in the Thai cave. We'll talk about it because all the kids will be out tomorrow, so we'll talk about it tomorrow. Why did you go in there?
I'm
just curious. Why, wait. So you coach, 25-year-old coach? 12 players? You took your players in there because why? Like, what were you doing? I don't get it. Right after they played a game? Good call. It's monsoon season, by the way. Yeah, good call. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Make sure you find us on iHeartRadio and everywhere else you get your podcast, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.